This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the latest episode of the Fox Nomad podcast. I'm your host, Fox Nomad. I have two returning guests to the show. We've got Larry Nemechek and Terrace Cassidy. They are here to talk about Geek Nation tours and Portal 47. We're going to talk about the combination of two of my favorite things, Star Trek and traveling. And they have put together some really interesting tours that are coming up in the coming year. Whether you're a sci-fi fan or not, they go to some of the most interesting places around Los Angeles and in between Las Vegas. So I think you're really going to enjoy this episode with Larry and Terrace.
Thank you both for joining the podcast again. You're both second and third time on the podcast. And I wanted to talk to you and have you both on because you're both combining two of my favorite things, which is travel and sci-fi and Star Trek. So tell me a little bit about what you guys have going on and a little bit. We talked a little bit when I spoke with you earlier, Larry, a couple months ago about the tours, but what do you guys have going on and how do you bring those two elements together?
Sure. Larry, you want to tell the story of our meeting? I think that's a good one to start.
Yeah. Well, the thing that gets me, because I'm behind the times, when I started Portal 47, like this is the 10th year, and I didn't think about it at the time. I just knew that we were downsizing. At one point, we were moving, and I had inherited a lot of things that over the years I'd given my grandmother used to keep collector plates. This is a long way to get there, but bear with me. And we, when we were kids and we were growing up in our family, we would go off on vacations. I mean, as little kids with our parents, but we all, when we get souvenirs for people, hey, you got souvenirs. And we always got grandma a plate from where we'd been to because she had a plate wall and it was all different things. And so when she passed and we cleaned out her house, I've got the stack of plates we gave her from Colorado or from New York or California, whatever. And I thought, oh, well, these must be, you know, I looked on eBay to see, and it's kind of the same way with the Star Trek collector plates. It's like the market totally dropped out the bottom. And a few years later, when I became an entrepreneur, all we ever heard about was everybody wanted, younger people, the later generations, nobody wants souvenirs. Everybody wants the experience. Nobody wants stuff because stuff takes up space. And I was like, oh, that's why nobody cares about, these aren't collectibles anymore. They're just more stuff. And I mean, it all made sense to me. And so I was like, oh, okay. So I'm trying to bring it to what I'm doing. And so, yeah, this guy comes up to me at Vegas in 2011 at the Trek Vegas Con in Las Vegas. And had said, hi, I'm Terrace. He should tell his origin story, but it came came out of the crash of 08 is where he actually started.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Inspired it. But he said, I'm doing this now. We have Geek Nation tours. Do you think, and we do military and historical and geeky things like gaming conventions. Do you think a Star Trek tour would work? And I said, do you mean like the location film sites? Not like studios and stages because they don't exist anymore. I mean, you can go and say, well, here's the stage where they film, but the sets aren't there from 50 years ago, much less 10 years ago. And he said, yeah. And I said, I had wanted to do a book about the locations because I have all the call sheets from then, all the shows. Now we've had the last generation of Fresh Trek, but at the time. And I said, yes. I said, absolutely, we can do this. In fact, there's so much we'll have to figure out what makes it practical, you know, as a live tour. So we did the first one in 2012. And I think despite that whole thing about everybody wants experiences, it's been interesting trying to get it across to people. You know what I mean? And I keep expecting it to bust wide open. But at the same time, people still want experiences. And people who are Trek fans, especially, are still looking for new ways to experience Trek. So I love the idea. If we still are trying to explain it to people, that's on us. The idea is awesome. And once people come on the tours and go places and they're there themselves and get the experience of being with the group and the experience of living, you know, all their selfies and all their photos and their video they're going to take, or the cosplay they bring along, or all of that, that's the total box of the experience, or what celebrity we have with us or guests we have with us or whatever, you know. It's in that moment that year with those people at that place. And the further away they come, the bigger a deal it is for them. That's truly what this whole thing about people are after experiences, not stuff, is about. And it's just a thing of getting it across to people. Anyway, and this guy has become like a master of it.
Yeah. And when I went up to Larry to talk to him about it, I'm a huge fan of Star Trek, by the way. Always watch Star Trek, and I'm a huge geek also, as you probably could see from my wargaming stuff in the background, all my books.
Huge gamer, huge tabletop wargamer. Yeah,
but I really love Star Trek, and so when I've been building this tour company, I'm like, okay, how can I include Star Trek in this whole package? And Larry has a, as you know, a wealth of knowledge of all things Trek. And therefore, he is being on the tour as a host, guest host, also brings a whole new experiential thing to the tour. We talk about how things were filmed, why things were filmed. We try to line up the shots. And we talk about all the history that goes there, too. And Larry's a wealth.
Yeah, we have clips. We have stills and clips so people get refreshed as we go somewhere.
So we're right there and then. And then what we decided to add is, you know, the odd celebrity with us on the tour. So we've got Tim Russ.
And some of them are really odd.
Yeah. And of course, you know, Tim Russ comes up to the observatory, the Griffiths Observatory, talks about his passion for astronomy. And then we got Barbie Clark, who's a cowboy who comes in to see us at Vasquez Rocks. And, you know, that type of thing. It's just an amazing adventure when we have these people talk about who they are and what they love passionately, and then add Star Trek into that, too. Because, I mean, that's what Star Trek is like we're kind of better together. So we wanted to make sure that all our hosts and our celebrities get to be both there, wear both their hats at the same time. So, and that's what GNT is about, just traveling to a place. And also, as Larry mentioned, the sense of community, because Geek Nation Tours wants to create community wherever we go. And you leave the tours with friends for life and someone to hang out with in Vegas, but also just someone that has a common shared vocabulary as you do and interests.
And for people, you know, listening and watching, you know, they hear Star Trek and they're probably different levels of fans, right? So when some people hear Star Trek, they think Captain Kirk. Other people, it might be Jean-Luc Picard. You know, everybody, when Star Trek is so broad, and they might be thinking, okay, well, it takes place on a spaceship. And how like, where does the tour go, and how is it connected to the show? Like, these sites are pretty integral to key episodes and key filming spots. But, you know, you can explain it better for somebody listening going, huh, well, they're on the bridge. Do we go to the sets, or, you know, what are we going to see?
Yeah.
Well, for sure. Let me jump on that, because there is now a licensed site that has set tours that are recreated tours of the original Enterprise, the 60s Kirk and Spock years, McCoy. And they're also adding a TNG bridge now. And in the past, there have been licensed touring shows and all that kind of thing. So don't confuse what we're doing with that. A, it's a licensed. But also, it's the sets. And you're right. It's on stage sets. But there is so much of Star Trek. And it's kind of deceiving because sometimes they recreate an outdoors on soundstage. They're not outdoors. They're shooting inside. And they're masters at that. And it's not even things that are supposed to be a holodeck and be on. But like they've just recreated the originals of the 60s. They did that to be less expensive. And it was a big deal. It's always a big deal to go on location. But like the cop shows, they're running around New York or Chicago or LA. They have to get 20 locations every episode to be running around in. But Star Trek, it's sci-fi and it's the future, and the future is expensive to build fresh. If you ever want to get off the sets of your starship. But they do. And like, I'm just going to hold this up. So like, this is our thing. Like Vasquez Rocks is the classic, right? The Gorn fight. And we have Bobby Clark come and talk about that. But there were like 8 or 9 other episodes that used the rocks in different ways. And not just the original series, but I mean, I've done a panel where I go beyond, you know, Star Trek film sites beyond Vasquez, because there are a lot more, but even or beyond the Gorn fight at Vasquez. And that's cool too. And I had a woman, I do a little individual day tour, and I had a woman come, and all she wanted to do was the episode Who Watches the Watchers of TNG, where Picard, they're watching a primitive civilization, and they get exposed and they have to repair the prime directive damage, and Picard gets shot, or they think Picard's a god, and he accidentally gets shot with an arrow and he bleeds, and he's like, look, I'm not a god, I'm bleeding, and they have to repair the damage. And at the end of it, the leader of the people, they're proto-Vulcans, gives him a tapestry, and it's the tapestry scroll that's on his chair for the entire rest of the series. And I had a woman on a one-day, two-people tour, and we were out at Vasquez, and I said, there's lots going on out here besides the Gorn fight. And she said, I know. Didn't they shoot the tapestry scene? She said, didn't they do Who Watches the Watch? Like, yeah. So we walked around, we did all the stuff and looked at pictures. And she said, she goes, do you know where Tapestry Rock is, which is like the rock they sat on for that? And I'm like, as a matter of fact, I do. Like, I'm on that one. And we went, like, her whole day had nothing to do with the Gorn fight. It was all about, she wanted to be there. She's like, I didn't bring it, but I had one of these custom made for me, and I have it over my chair at work. And I said, oh, why didn't you bring it? She's like, next time I'll do. So, I mean, it's like everybody. Yes, everybody comes to Star Trek from different places. But even when you're talking about the locations, not on stages, which are long gone, unless they're museums, but when you're out like that, you can go. And Vasquez has a lot. And the other one that's very popular, obviously, to a lot of people is the Tillman Water Plant there, mm-hmm. for Starfleet Academy and headquarters. But there's also a lot of obscure places that people, it doesn't register. So the tour is kind of a mix of the big famous ones that people love going to, and some of them you can go on your own, but and you know, and they're obvious, but hopefully we're going to bring a lot more. We've got Bobby, we've got me telling you more than what you may think you know, and you've got the group. But we also have some really obscure places that there's nothing like famous or infamous to do, or for me now to watch people do this, where you get there and they're you just go, oh my god, I'm here, and they just get the biggest smile on their face. And they can, like Starfleet Academy, the Tillman Water Plant, we do it where people bring their, you saw a picture there, people want to bring their costume, their uniforms, and they want to be Starfleet, or they want to go over and be Boothby at the Boothby tree, like where Ray was, Picard and Boothby's conversation, like we can go to the little bridge and the tree where they did that. And it's just something about being able to inhabit that.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father. Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
You know, it's like, yeah, people build their cosplay and their props, or they do their models. But when your body can be there at the real place, and you know intellectually, I'm at the place where they really shot this. It's you can't replicate that. And that's what's kind of the cool. It's the community and all of that. But the core thing that makes it exciting, and then everything builds on that, is like it's a you are there moment, and you can't duplicate that. And for all that we do like this from wherever we are, that's one thing that's still out there that you, if you're going to do that, then you have to be there to do that, you know?
Yeah.
And it's so much fun doing it. And it's so much fun taking people there and watching them react and have fun.
Yeah.
Do their vacation things wherever we go to. That's been fun too.
And I love that level of detail. Like, you can go to the actual tree where they filmed those scenes. And as a Star Trek analogy, you know, in First Contact,
you knew exactly what I was talking about, didn't you?
100, yeah, I can even see it, and it reminds me of that scene in First Contact where they're touching is it called the Phoenix? And then Picard is explaining to Data, you know, there's something about actually being there, and when you go to a place where something was filmed and you see it with your own eyes, I've done that at a few places, and you're just, it does something. It not only makes you want to rewatch the thing, but then you realize, like, oh, they picked this spot for a bunch of good reasons. You know, it's not just, it was just random. I mean, you know, they were scouting locations. It's a beautiful place, or it fits the story or the narrative. So it's not just, you know, I think it's broad, right? So whether you're a fan or not, those places are interesting to visit. You know, in either way, how many sites do you visit? What is the sort of the tour structure?
We try to go to two a day, and sometimes we fit in a smaller one. So maximum three a day, two a day is our pretty much our goal all the way through that. And they include, like, for instance,
LA is a big place. I mean, it's
yeah, that's the problem. Well, it's also the good thing.
Yeah,
it's hard to get to. So the traveling time is there also. But I think two a day is good for the brain, with a little break in between, because it's kind of overwhelming in a lot of ways and exciting, and you get super tired if you're going to more than that, but two or three a day, basically. Yeah.
And if you were
when you've got a lot of people, it's like, you know, herding cats or herding cattle, but it's just the logistics of getting a lot of people on a bus or a van and then getting them off and then doing what you're going to be. And if you're there an hour or even more than that, you know, that's time. And then you have lunch in the middle of the day, whatever you're doing. And then it's not like you and your, it's not like a little family, a little twofer. Mm-hmm. Like when I do my day tours, it's a little more nimble, but it's apples and oranges, because it's great to have a group, and it's great to have that group dynamic too. But it just adds up a little bit of the logistics. Yeah,
it's the great thing traffic about it is that we can really take our time. Like when you're at either Vasquez Rocks or at Tillman or whatever, people wander off.
Or we're walking, or we do the Hollywood Walk of Fame, and we go to Paramount Studios. But even on the Walk of Fame, yeah.
But yeah, exactly. And they walk off by themselves and have kind of their own moment, you know, their own feel of that vibe about touching or being there in that space. And I think that in order to not rush them, I think that we've got it kind of nailed down with the two or three. I mean, if you take a look at the tour, you go to Geek Nation Tours and take a look at I have a great picture of that at Tillman, the day five. I've got one of our participants in, you know, dressed up doing his cosplay, and just kind of off in the distance thinking about being where he is. And I think that that is kind of what we try to create for people, to this space, not only as a community, but as an individual, to be, I'm here. I have more connection to this universe than I thought possible. And that's this, the connection to the universe, like you were saying, or to the Phoenix or to whatever, that is what we try to do, is create that, that vibe of, oh my God, I'm here.
And
Terrence, you just said something, and all this time, I've never thought of it this way. But this thing about taking time to make space, and to people that have not been with us on one of our tours, but maybe they've had another tour, and maybe it was like, it was some, you know, sardines in a can thing, or it's that comedy version, you know, like you see an airport, and you, especially like foreign tourists, maybe, or you're when American is in another country that's not the language, but that whole thing about they have the little flag, and it's like, and we're walking, and it's like the little, you know, the turkeys or the geese in a line kind of thing. That's not what we're talking about here. And as you talked, I was like, Terrace, we should point this out. It very much is we're there long enough for people to go off. And I have this wonderful story. So we, one time, and do you know the Voyager episodes?
Yep.
Do you know Voyager very well?
Yep.
Okay. So, you know, the Q that wanted to kill himself, commit suicide. And QQ, John Delancey's Q, comes in, and they have the trial. And at one point, they actually, the one time, I guess, apart from the Civil War, they took us to the continuum, and they visualize it as that gas station. Okay, well, that's a gas. We go to that. We've gone to that place. And we've had some props, and we don't have the scarecrow in the game, but we had the magazine that they're reading. Mm-hmm. And we took, you know, and everybody wants to take pictures, and everybody has fun, and we do a group thing, but people all do their own thing. And we have one regular participant who, she's a big Janeway fan. And so on this day, she had her Janeway, you know, uniform, and we had the magazine, and we were all taking pictures on the porch of the station. And we went through everybody, and I made sure everybody had their pictures they wanted if they didn't do their own. And I looked like, oh, where's... And I go, oh, come on over and get your picture. And she was like, no, I'm where I want to be. And she was over by the gas pumps. And I'll never forget this. And I'm like, what do you mean? And she like had her camera, and she showed me, and she had the still. And that is where Janeway was standing in this picture. And she wanted a picture exactly like that. And I'm like, oh, of course. I'm sure. She, will you take this to them over there? I'm like, yes. So I did. But I always remember that, because it's like everybody, by the time they've, you know, they paid the tickets and they've come all this way and they're there. It's like people, sometimes everybody has, especially have, they have their one thing that's really important to them. Like the woman that wanted to do the tapestry at Tapestry Rock. And she wanted to do that pose at the gas stage. That's the one thing she cared about doing. And the cool thing about the tour is, and I hadn't thought of it this way until just now, Terrace, is like, we're big enough and I say loose enough, although we're not loosey goosey, but everybody has enough elbow room to be able to do things like that when they want to, and we can do that. And sometimes it's even like everybody turns into a copycat and does the same thing. But everybody's got that. This is not a get on the assembly line and get on the conveyor belt and move.
It never gets big. All my tours are never bigger than 24 people. I find that any tour above that, there's one that we just stay in the convention, so that one's different. But any tour that travels, that moves, even daily, 24 is where I find that communities bind. You know, you've got anything above that, they start to break up into groups, and then everybody doesn't get to know each other. But around 24, everybody really cycles through the whole group and eventually gets to know everyone. And I think that again, that's really big and important to me, because community is, and to have that sense of belonging, and thus you need to have that sense of being able to be a little bit lax on timing, you know, on scheduling. You know, you get to be, okay, you know what, let's stay here for an extra 15, 20 minutes or half an hour or whatever. It'll just give everybody a little bit more oomph. We'll have to speed up a little bit in the next one, but that never, it's never a problem, you know. And the good thing about being the owner of the company and I'm being on the tour is I get to do whatever I think is appropriate. I got no one to answer to. So it's, you, Usually I'm always just answering, well, not only to the tour participants, but I'm answering to the community. So.
Yeah,
And the other thing about the limit, too, real quick, is that I liked, because I wondered about this to begin, because part of me in my head, I when he first said, you know, what this would be, and I hadn't been through this kind of a situation before, and I had that cartoon stereotyped, you know, the and we're walking, and this way, everybody, and a little flag and all that stuff. But also, like, you know, well, you're going to make more money if you jam pack more people. And the one thing that we do, like when we go somewhere, we have downtime and you're driving your car. We try to, we're logistically smart, but you still have the lag time when you're going from place to place or when you leave the hotel in the morning to go to the first place. And we have the clips and we have stills on my pad and we have video. And we have video we show on the, most of the buses are fit where you can show clips on the screens. And we can do that. And if you have more than, say, like Tara said, 23 or 24, you're probably going to be on a second bus. And then you don't, not only do you not have the community together, like Terrace and I aren't, can't be both places. Or if I'm on one and he's on the other bus isn't getting the other one. And he, and I hate the thing of to think, well, I'll be on a microphone and we'll transmit to the other bus. Well, aside from the tech breaking down, it's just not the same. It's like people are paying to be here. They're here for the experience. They want the experience. And how do I, you know, well, I'll be on this bus for 1 hour and I'll be on that bus for another hour. That just doesn't work for me. So it's like, let's keep it all like Tara said and keep everybody with the same personal experience. So nobody is feeling like they're getting a little bit less than, you know. And if we're showing clips and I want to say something about the clip, the other bus that is just showing the clip didn't
Yeah.
get
Plus,
that.
you also don't get your interaction with the people that you're with. And that's really the fun thing. Our
You do
Janeway
have
friend.
those in between times, even when you're not there, but those are still fun
Yeah,
too.
the Janeway fan, like everybody was like, "Oh, wow, that's really cool." And if they're separated somehow, it doesn't allow for the community to interact. And again, that's what we're about, is interaction and that doing things
We
together.
had the year, so we've done this in 2012 and 2014. That's about the time it took for the demand to make back as we were explaining the idea. And then we did a one in 2016, which was the biggest we ever did. And we also offered a San Francisco lap. So it was the 50th. And everybody was gaga in the, I called it 50 fever. But everything, like the Vegas convention sold out and they had a second convention in New York and everything just blew up. And people all wanted to be, do all these things for the 50th anniversary. And we had our biggest turnout. And we added this lap in San Francisco. And one of the things we did was, we were over at Starfleet Academy around Golden Gate Bridge, and we were going to go across the bridge to go under the, to go across the bridge and go to the other side and come and look back where some of Starfleet was, is supposed to be, and wasn't planned at all. But as we're going on the bus, on a bus across the bridge, one of the guys in the tour had a little, he had brought this along, and he had a little mini boom box, you know, like the punk on a bus from Star Trek IV.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay, no insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Or, you know, I want to be loud or whatever, and Spock neck pinches him. Well, he did a thing, and they were kidding. He brings it up, and he had a little recording of the song on this little mini thing, And he played it, and he was like doing this and doing this, and he was his friend or his relative, somebody, and they were doing the whole bit, and he flips him the finger, and he neck pinches him, and he went ah, and everybody was laughing, and I was like, no, wait, do it again. I have to get this on a video. So, and you know, and out the window, you're on the bridge because the pillars are going by on the bridge, and it was just the spontaneous thing that somebody brought to it. You know, we didn't plan that, and it was just, and now I pull up that video every once in a while and just die laughing
Yeah,
because
it's great.
fans did that, and somebody thought, oh, we're going to be on the bridge and go across the bridge on a bus and go across the bridge, we have to do this.
Yeah, it sounds like when you're sort of talking about the tour and promoting the tour, it's like when I try to explain to somebody a Star Trek convention, right? So people think you're just going there and you're maybe buying some merch and seeing somebody talk and then you leave, right? Like it's like nuts and bolts kind of thing. But really what it is, what
That's
I
what
think.
sitcoms and draw like 1 hour draw. That's what the damage from, like, they don't know, so they imagine what it's like, and then people see that as a part of a show, and it's not.
It's
It's not,
almost
yeah.
like people think it's a chore, right? Like, so for people think like, are you going to convention? You know, like if it's a work convention or something, but they don't realize that the reason you go and then keep going back is all the people that you meet, the
Yeah, 100
community and
percent.
everything. And it sounds like, you know, this tour is like a mini convention. It's just like, you know, and for people who don't know what the convention experience is like, it's absolutely like if you're a fan, it's definitely worth doing. And even if you're not, just having that community is great because, you know, it's like you have this shared sort of interest, and then who knows, right? Like, you know, so
And I was just going to say that exactly that. And we of course end up in Vegas. So then you have somebody to go to the convention with too, that you've known. So you're right. You're right. And I think your conventions do, people haven't been to conventions, especially the Star Trek convention. You know, there's something really special about that convention. Like, not to belittle the convention itself, the convention is the people. You know, hanging out with everybody in the bar, talking Trek, talking about who they are and what they do, and how people, Star Trek fans are crazy awesome. You know,
people even find a way to make a long line. I mean, I don't want to jump this too much, but you know, we do have a lot of people come from overseas. Like, they're new to America, much less new to Vegas or LA or something, and they may not even be native English speakers, and they may be a little unsure, and they may be coming alone, or they may have somebody with them, or they may even have a partner that's not a Trek person. You know, it's like they might as well be alone, except for not. And the tour, we always say the tour is a great way to come and have friends when you walk in the door at now the Rio. It's a great way to already know people. But even if you didn't, even the people just show up at the convention, talk about fandom. I say, when you've stood in line, you're a Trek fan and you think, I don't know anybody and all that, but you know your Trek, you even standing in line for 15 or 20 or 30 or 45 minutes, by the time you go through that, you've met five new people, you've made five new friends. Because you're all Trek people in the same situation, and you can all, you know, I say you can gripe about being in line, but people are going to find a way to make the time, and it's the convention, and people are tra it is a vacation, and people are traveling, and they are having fun. But I it's funny, from the business, my entrepreneur circle, people that are more businessy, even when they're fun, they're businessy, and they always think about conferences. And I'll say, well, I've got to go to Vegas, or I've got to go to San Diego, or you know. And it's funny because they'll talk about conferences, and it's what you were saying, Anil. It's like they think it's very mechanical. They think of when they go to their pharmacy rep conference, or they go to their academic conference, or they go to their accountants convention or something. You know, they're thinking of like that. And then the minute they go sit, that they're getting their continuing credits, could go to this panel, or they go to that workshop, and then, oh my God, it's over, and I can't wait to get out of this hotel and go to the steakhouse, or you know, I don't know. Go to the strip clubs, whatever they're going to do. And it's like, you know, Trek people, like, they don't want to go anywhere. They just all want to go. And then they kind of like maybe migrate down to the hotel bar and not have, or the hotel they're staying in, if they're forced to be out somewhere else or a little cheaper, or for some reason they're at the hotel adjoining and they're all hanging out at that bar. But like, they don't run off. And it's always funny to have to get these hotel places to realize that this is a Trek convention is not like any other convention, because like the last thing fans want to do is run off down to the strip. I mean, some do.
Yeah.
Or they'll come a day earlier, they'll stay a day over, and they'll do it then. But their headset is like, this is my family reunion every year. Why do I run off in the middle of the night when I've got family here? Yeah. It's not work at all. And that just bleeds over to how the tour is.
Yeah.
It's amazing. But you're right. To talk to somebody about what a Trek Con is like, and it's not done service sometimes by the way it pops into sitcoms and drama shows. But it's people don't want to leave, and they was. And when computers came in and social media and even message boards, I thought after the 70s and the 80s and the 90s, I thought, oh no, what are conventions going to be like in clubs? And for a while, it's like that fills in a lot. You don't get as much new raw news, maybe, but nothing replaces the human. It what it evolved into was people may meet online in social media or whatever chat strips and things. But then the convention turns into everybody getting to meet in real life. And then after the first time, it turns into the family reunion. And so it's, yeah.
Yeah, and the tour is like a power pack to the convention. Because I always think, you know, there's this huge group of fans who don't go to conventions and are just hesitant to sort of, because they don't know, right? Whether it's a tour or...
Fans.
Yeah, they just don't know. So they're like, I mean, but it's just people. And I would say it's super fun. And then to add the tour in front of the convention, it's the week before, right? So, and you end up in Vegas. I think is the most memorable way probably to do it, because you're trekked out, you have your group there already, and then you go into the convention and it's like everybody from everywhere coming in. Is that why you decided to sort of have it, you know, tail right into the convention?
Yeah, it's definitely I mean, we've tried various means, but I think that is the best way. I think it just marries each other to marries the experience together. Because I mean, if you are, like Larry said, coming from another country, why would you not want to go to the Star Trek convention? I mean, that's part of the whole thing. I mean, it allows us to tag a tour, which is important, to a convention, which is important for Star Trek tours. I mean,
it helps that Vegas and LA are so close. I mean,
yeah,
if it was,
right.
and
no, we drive.
It's been a few years planning to be detached from, but we went through a phase where the official con wasn't Vegas. Or it was going to travel around, which has ended. Like if it was in Chicago or New York or somewhere else, we were just going to have this be a standalone.
Right.
But as long as they're that close. And here's the thing. If people are coming to Vegas for the con and then they add on a few extra days anyway, they'll say, I want to see the strip, or I don't know, Hoover Dam. Or a lot of people come the further away they are. They get to Vegas, they rent a car or they fly. They come down to L.A. anyway because they want to see L.A. and Hollywood and do their SoCal.
That's right.
See, so it makes sense. Yeah, they see all the stuff. And the funky thing, thank you, Voyager, Future's End. Terrace, his company, has a, what do you call it? The parallel universe?
Parallel universes, yeah.
Yeah, if you have a plus one that doesn't care about the thing you're there for, he'll set them up to be, you know, they'll have fun. But the cool thing about half of Star Trek is, especially the Voyager, LA things in Voyager from that one episode, two-parter, is you go to the Santa Monica Pier or the observatory. They're Star Trek locations now, but they're also just fun to be at. Or Will Rogers Ranch from Star Trek IV. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, so it's like you have this lucky doubling up.
Yeah.
So everybody, so even you're there for the, you know, come for the Star Trek, stay for the Googie California, LA vacation experience.
So if you were going to pitch to a Star Trek fan, I'll give you three pitches. One, a fan who's never been to a convention at all or been on a Star Trek tour. Two, the person who has been to the convention or a convention, maybe not Las Vegas specifically. And the third one is somebody who is not a fan and would be joining the person on the tour. If you're going to pitch it in those three ways, how would you sort of
Let me do the last one first.
Okay.
So what we do, like Larry just said, we have this whole parallel universes portion of the company. My wife, who is pretty much a geek, insisted that we do this for the company. And what we do is we just say, if your friend that is coming with you is not interested in Star Trek so much, what are they interested in? And I just help them find ways to do whatever they're interested in. If they want to go to a baseball game, or if they want to go shopping, or if they want to go see a museum or whatever, I take care of all that. I help them all the way through it too. So you can have your partner come on the tour and not be bored out of their tree. And also, I mean, it's interesting anyway to watch your partner geek out on the thing that they love, but it's also, I make sure that they're taken care of. So when we're in LA, which is a good part of the tour, they literally wouldn't need to come at all. I can find things for them every day. So I think that would be my pitch to the non-geek spouse, as we like to call it.
or the non-geek spouse might be very, I have this thing when I'm at my table at cons, and it's happened for, I noticed it years ago and I get it. I'll be, especially if I'm at a, you mentioned this, if I'm in like a Comic-Con, not so much Vegas, like an all Trek convention, but if I'm in a comic where there's all the franchises and all these different things of interest, and you watch people walk back and forth all day, and you know, one out of 20 of them, you know, walking by, and the minute they lock eyes with my booth, my banners, my stuff, and they're walking along looking a little tired, and they go whoop, and they laser in, and they like almost go voomp over to your table. If they've got somebody with them, a lot of times the person they're with them doesn't walk as fast as they do. They don't beam over as quickly as they do from the middle of the aisle. And I'll see that, and I'll, of course, listen to the person like, oh my gosh, this is blah, blah, blah. Or, oh, do you have, or they want to talk. And their plus one is standing there very patient. And I notice this, and, you know, hopefully they're not being, you know, they've got a smile on their face, and they're just indulging their person. But after they get it out of their system, I always make it a point to look at the other person and say, hi, so are you a fan or just very patient? And that's what.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Terrence is talking about here is that way, but you know, even when you had Terrence has his parallel universe offering, like we'll take care of you, there are a lot of plus what spouses or friends or partner whatever that want to be, they want some of the experience, and they get it that, well, if we go to the Santa Monica Pier, we're at the pier, or if we go to the observatory, we're at the observatory, Star Trek or not, but even they have their limits. I mean, that's the thing I like about the way Terrence does it, is they want to make an effort. They're not totally going to be in their little box. And but even it's like, you know, there's times when they may want to break. And that's, it's a spectrum, but to do it that way. So you said something about the pitch. So my pitch, and this is something I noticed anyway, because I've come across this. Don't forget the tour, but forget the tour for a minute. Just conventions. What I call armchair fans. I always talk about how the people online are not all fandom. The people you see at conventions are not all fandom. There's 1,000 times more people at home that just like watching the shows. And, you know, maybe they buy an action figure, maybe they buy a book or a comic, but they just watch, and maybe they're bringing their kids up, right? Or they found the partner. They found their plus one through geekery, or they're converting their geek, but they're just at home. And I've talked to a lot of them, and even just on a very simple level, I'll say, why have you never, I said, oh, you should come to Vegas, or you should go to whatever's, you know, go to your local thing. And sometimes I've actually heard people say, oh, I couldn't. I'm like, why? And they're like, well, I don't have a costume. They like think that they have to have a costume or a uniform to be able to come. And I love being able to say, you don't, like, 10% of the people are wearing something. 90% of the people, they're just in there. They might have a t-shirt, you know, they might have a Trek thing on or a pin or a cap. But, you know, and it's like, but that's where a lot of people who are fans don't have that clue. So you're pitching that to them. It's kind of like and maybe they don't like crowds. Maybe they don't like the masses. Maybe that's, you know, whatever, which is where the cruise fits in. So those are the people I say, look, this is very small. It's fun. It's you. It's you and your thing. You're not putting up with a few thousand people. It's not commercial. Once you buy your ticket from us, it's not commercial, you know, but it's a small group. It's a small, easily accessed person. If you're ever going to jump out of your armchair and go live some Star Trek, it's a great thing to do because you know all the places. It's not like we have to teach you anything. It's like if you're that big a fan, and it's a great way to do something in a big leap that's not, you know, the conventional, no pun intended, thing to do.
Yeah, and it's a combination of you've been doing tours for a long time, so you have the experience of whatever the topic would be, right? Of putting together a tour where you know the pace and that is going to work, the logistics, and then you have the Trek expertise on top of that. So, you know, people who know the tree from those episodes, right? I think it might be more than one. I don't know, but you know, like. They're going to go, Stewie. Okay.
It's the Wesley Crusher's In Trouble show and Picard's reconnecting.
Yeah, because you don't want to be on a Star Trek tour where you know way more than the people leading the tour, right? Like, you know, because you're coming in with a high level of Trek knowledge, I would assume, on the tour. But yeah, I'm guessing that there's nobody's going to top that, right? Well, top you guys.
I forget to mention that Terris does. I forget to mention this, but I just kind of go, yeah, that's the point. Like, you've got me there. And not that I'm carrying it around here, but I can prep. And people have we have takeaways. Like, here's the location. Here's like all the things that were filmed at Vasquez, not just the Gorn fight. You know, here's everything across all, even Picard, you know, even the last, one of the last series was out here. So it's, yeah, we have brain candy for them too, as well as the eye candy and the people candy.
Yeah, 100%. And I think my last pitch combines those two that we were talking about the person that's coming from far away, or the person that doesn't want to go to or apprehensive about going to a convention. You will go to either of those. I hope that you come on the tour, but you will go to either one of those and almost certainly leave with the feeling that you've been included, that you've been part of something, that you are with your community, and that you most likely will have friends when you leave. And this is just the way that particular convention is and the way we make the tour. And all those people have the same loves as you, the same common vocabulary. They get the same jokes as you. So, you know, somebody will say a random joke that you say at a party and everybody is like, what is that joke? But then on the coach, everybody laughs. So that's really what it comes down to, is that
it's like the guys that pulled out the little micro boombox as we crossed the bridge.
You get to know all those things. You get to build the community that you really want. And I can tell you, if you're a Star Trek fan, the tour and the convention are the epitome of the Star Trek community. I mean, I always say this about Star Trek fans. You know, I go to a lot of conventions, a lot of geeky conventions around the world. And one thing about the Star Trek convention, and it's often you'll see, reported on the most strange of people or the strange things that people do at conventions. And I understand, because you want to be flashy, but it actually doesn't get the point about what that convention is. People go to that convention and they can be strange and be accepted anyway. Mm-hmm. And that's really how accepting that community is. It's incredibly accepting, and it's incredibly Star Trek in the way that we are better together no matter who we are. So that's 100%, you'll get that feeling on both going to the convention and the tour.
And it covers a wide range of the series, right? We talked about original, TNG, Voyager, Deep Space Nine, Enterprise, Picard.
Well, all the LA, you know, the Toronto, the more modern Toronto shows, everything now but Picard. But Picard and behind and Enterprise back. Yeah. And a lot of the sites have, like, Vasquez Rocks has mm-hmm. been home to almost every series, I think.
That's right.
Maybe not Enterprise, yeah. But and the movies are out there too, although they had that varies. But yeah.
And where can people learn more? What are the dates? And if you're planning to buy a gift for yourself or somebody, a Star Trek gift, you know, this is a time when people are shopping for things. So, you know, let me hear the options so people are ready for next year.
Yeah, you can see all the details, all the pricing, everything that we supply on geeknationtours.com. Just go to the Star Trek filming site tour. We also have a one-day adventure that we should talk about just briefly.
Yeah, sure.
to Valley of Fire right when you're in Vegas. It's kind of just a one-day adventure. But if you want the big tour, and both those are on my site. So mm-hmm. geeknationtours.com. If you have any questions, just email me at headgeek@geeknationtours.com. Happy to answer any questions.
Because you want to make sure and call at certain times, because you don't want to get stuck with any of Terrace's 47 other employees that don't know.
Yeah,
no, what I'm trying to say here clumsily is this company is Terrace.
Yes, that's true. Yes. And
Chris may answer the phone, but it's Terrace's right. company. So you're going to talk to Terrace and it's going to be
100%
personal. But yeah, the one day tour out to Valley of Fire is where Kirk died in Generations. And there's some wacky Star Trek add-ons that we didn't even know about when we first went out there. So we planned, and I want to say too, if you want to do the tour and not go to the con, or if that's a bridge too far for you or whatever, time-wise or money-wise, you can come to the tour, wind up in Vegas, and then fly out of Vegas or stay in Vegas on your own for a week and just go. You know, you don't have to be at the convention. That's just where we wind up, but we've tailed it that way. But we come in on, we travel from LA up on Monday, and we cross a couple of sites as we go, getting out of town. And then we cross desert, get to Vegas. It's only 4 hours. And then that's Monday night. And the convention now starts again on Wednesday mm-hmm. with some Tuesday night early bird things. And the Valley of Fire is its own one day thing on the Tuesday. So even if you come into the con and you can't put in another week, but you have an extra day, if you come in on Monday, then get up and early, we leave at 7 a.m. because of the heat. But mm-hmm. we take care of everybody. We're good. But we still get an early start. And then we're back by like 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and you can rest up and be ready for the kickoff, you know, all the con eve kickoff stuff that's happening Tuesday night. But that's the day before the con starts on Wednesday. So people can add on that day, or they can, you know, enjoy the whole week with the tour too.
Three ways to work it.
And it's the end of July, right in the beginning of August right there. Mm-hmm. Anything else? All right, there we go.
I have the postcard.
All your podcast listeners, Larry is holding something up.
It's not, yeah. Well, I'm, yeah. Oh, it is audio, isn't it? July 30th to August 3rd.
That's Larry, you got to spiel them too. Let's hear your spiel.
I forget And I will say, I do not want to take focus off of this, because this doesn't happen all the time, but I do have a couple of little things for Portal. I have my Portal Year membership Cyber Monday Small Business Saturday special of 12 months of Portal 47, which is my backstage focus on creatives over Zoom, wherever you are in the world. I have European members. Portal 47, you can look it up, portal47.net. And we have a 12 months for the price of 9 special at my site. And I have a little day tour. If you're on vacation and you have a spare day in LA, I don't want to take away the focus from the big tour, but I have a little cyber special on my site too, as well for that. But I want everybody to know about the big tour coming up as well, because it's an investment, but it's an investment in fun and time and experience. Like you won't ever get anywhere else.
I will leave links to where everybody can find you guys, find the tours. I can just say that I know people are in good hands. So if they join the tour, that, you know, both in knowledge and you guys are both super cool and very nice to talk to. So, you know, like I said, I'll just add on that the community part is something that people don't realize happens when you're with other Star Trek fans. It's the fandom that I know the best, and I can say that, you know, it's sort of, until you experience it, you don't realize how awesome it is. And then once you're with a bunch of other fans, and then you're at the places, you can actually see it, you know, it's probably, there's some experience there that happens that it's hard to get when you're just watching the show. So
100%.
Thank you guys. Yeah. Thank you guys both for joining, and yeah, everybody check out the links, and it's July, so it's not too far away. So get ready. Thanks again, guys.
Appreciate it.
Neil, thank you so much, man.
Sure.
Well,
thank you.
Thanks, Larry. Thanks, Terrace, for being a guest on the podcast. And thank all of you for listening. Make sure that you give the Fox Nomad podcast a 5-star rating wherever you get your podcast, and a couple of kind words. It helps us get the word about the show out. Thanks very much again for listening, and I'll talk to you in the next episode.